Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Dear brethren, once again we find ourselves experiencing the problem of plenty. A week of so many encouraging notes that we just want to take time to celebrate them all. First, Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick this week called for the highly popular New York Strip Steak to be renamed as the Texas Strip Steak. Even though the New York restaurant Delmonico's popularized the name in the 1800s, Patrick says there's no reason New York dairy cows should get the branding benefit more properly due to Texas's 12 million head of beef cattle. Obviously, we will rarely side with Texas over our beloved utopian New York, but in this case, we're on board simply because of the very first rule of wokeness. Changing words for the sake of changing words is the beginning of thought control. So bring on the Apalachicola-styled clam chowder instead of New England style. Bring on the Sioux City wings instead of Buffalo. And bring on the South Padre Island iced tea instead of Long Island. The more language chaos, the better. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, the Oscars, for being so successfully non-inclusive of non-inclusive movies. In case you were not aware, every movie nominated for Best Picture must meet a very rigorous inclusivity and representation standard, meaning the film either has lead roles played by a member of a minority racial group, or at least 30% of the cast be women, racial minorities, LGBTQ+, or disabled, or the subject matter of the film must focus on an underrepresented group. As a result, of the 323 films eligible for the awards this year, 36% of them, a whopping 116 films, were ineligible for Best Picture. And of course, this meant that a biopic about Ronald Reagan, a white, Republican, male president, and featuring an almost exclusively white cast, was not allowed eligibility for the award. And how can we advance the cause of inclusivity more effectively than by excluding the non-inclusive from our celebration of excellence and inclusion? So potent. So well done. Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, for protecting weaker films from the unfair competition of straight white male films and limiting the field to only DEI-approved films so that the Oscar for Best Picture will always and henceforth be known as the Oscar for Best Picture as long as it is certified woke compliant according to ISO 2025 DEI 4.0. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Third, and I want to warn you in advance that anyone who is still dealing with IDS or Inauguration Denial Syndrome, you may want to cover your ears. Here goes. We want to congratulate Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. I know, hear me out. For his decision to restore the original names of several U.S. military bases, such as reverting Fort Moore to Fort Benning and Fort Liberty to Fort Bragg. Now, I know this seems like a step backwards to those of us who fought so hard to eradicate every vestige of the Confederacy from statues, street names, holidays, donut flavors, and military base designations. But the twist here is that Hegseth specifically changed the namesakes of these bases to non-Confederate heroes instead of their Confederate namesakes. So, rather than Confederate General Henry L. Benning, the installation is now named for Army Corporal Fred G. Benning. Similarly, instead of Confederate General Braxton Bragg, the base is now named for Army Private First Class Roland L. Bragg. In other words, they aren't Confederate-named bases anymore. There are two dimensions to our victory here. First, name changes for the sake of name changes are always to be celebrated because they create intellectual instability. They separate people from the language of tradition, which enslaves them through memory to the unjust structures of the past. Second, the most anti-woke of defense secretaries was forced to abandon the Confederate references. Huge win. So let us brag about Fort Bragg once again, which now fully pretends the past does not exist. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to take a moment to bask gently in the afterglow of the masterful example set by congressional Democrats in their handling of the State of the Union speech this week by President, oh no you don't. We are still reveling in the power of their moment and the tears of joy their behavior brought to our eyes. First, the female Democrats, for their feminist solidarity, wearing pink in defense of women, after having voted just the previous day to refuse to prohibit biological men from competing against women in sports. Eradicating the distinctions between men and women is, of course, a core goal of our denomination. Also, as the 15th maxim of 10th wave feminism teaches, the best way to help women be women is by teaching them to become more like men. For only when women are men can they finally be women again. Second, the protest signs. Those small, nearly invisible, symbolically pointless, slogan-bearing black signs that ever so softly showed President That Guy who really was in charge. Yes, as he thundered at them for a record-shattering 1 hour and 40 minutes, they fought back with their anointed and holy ping-pong paddles of protest. And if anything ever fully captured the roaring power of the Democratic Party in 2025, it was surely the holy ping-pong paddles of protest. May the eternal blessings of wokeness be ever on their grippy pipped surface. Third, the glorious use of passive-aggressively sitting on their hands and not applauding the parade of policy achievements and human props that man brought before the American audience. Refusing to applaud for a balanced budget, refusing to applaud for peace in Ukraine, refusing to honor a man who lost a daughter or a wife who lost a husband, refusing to stand for a high school senior being accepted to West Point. These were all good. But the single most powerful moment of the night was when President, oh hell no, awarded 13-year-old cancer survivor DJ Daniel with an honorary appointment to the United States Secret Service. And Democrats sat still and pretended not to notice. Now, I know our critics have asked what sort of special derangement our Democratic congresspersons were suffering from to refuse to celebrate a young black man beating cancer and being treated like a hero. But think about it for a moment. You seriously want them to cheer for a misguided youth's brainwashed desire to grow up and participate in the systemic racism of American policing, which oppresses his very own people? Have you forgotten how much we hate the police and want to defund them? Of course they didn't cheer. And of course they were right not to. You might as well have asked them to cheer for a boy who aspires to grow up and become the president of an oil company, or make guns for a living, or cigarettes, or become a priest. Or imagine asking them to cheer for a little girl who wants to grow up to become a nurse or a secretary or a mother. Remember your principles, people. Fourth, Texas Representative Al Green, who early on in the speech stood up, mumbling incoherently what we can only imagine was a Spanish incantation or perhaps the name of his barber, while waggling his walking stick at the president until the sergeant-at-arms escorted him off the field of play like Darth Vader throwing the Emperor down the power shaft of the second Death Star. Yes, we know it was a total abandonment of our calls for civility. Yes, we know it made him the laughingstock of social media. And yes, we know it accomplished nothing. But that is the point. The complete and utter impotence of his hollow symbolic gesture is the reason we love it. For who are we, if not the people of empty gestures and impotent behavior? This was literally the participation trophy of protests. And as our mantra teaches, silence is speech, inaction is action, and impotence is power. And if anything in this world does a better job of representing our movement right now than an old Texas liberal feebly waving a cane at the President of the United States when he gives an official address, well, we can't imagine what that would be. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal, and go forth and transgress no more.